relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you thought 2016 was important, 2020 is going to be the greatest, most significant election of your lifetime. As a result, we've created a unique additional podcast with our regular guest in studio, former special assistant to President Trump, Boris Epstein. It's called The Battle for 1600. Join us today by subscribing to the podcast for free. Just look for my name, Boris Epstein, and The Battle for 1600.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome back, dear friends, to this, the third hour of America First. If you missed Rudy Giuliani, Andy McCarthy, Kurt Schlichter, you've got to go to our YouTube channel. You've got to get the podcast. And also, we spent an hour before the show with the man who took Donald Trump's campaign from down 16 points to victory 4 years ago, Steve Bannon. It is blowing up the internet. Go to YouTube, watch it after the show. That's America First, Sebastian Gorka, and the special live stream we did with Steve Bannon. Another great American patriot. He represents Louisiana's first congressional district. A true, true patriot. You need to follow this man on Twitter. He is the minority whip, Steve Scalise. Welcome back to America First.
Sebastian, it's always great to be back with you.
We have been focusing like billio on the presidential election, of course, all the irregularities, all the evidence of voter fraud. But let's talk about your perspective. How solid, how victorious is Nancy Pelosi feeling right now, Steve Scalise?
Wow, this was not a good election for Nancy Pelosi and, you know, for AOC, the squad, for the socialist left, because you look in the House and we flipped probably 10 seats. There's still some that are outstanding, but we're probably going to be over 210 House Republicans, meaning we gained more than 10 seats when they were projecting, the experts were projecting, we would be losing 10 seats and Pelosi would be building her majority. Instead, she's now looking down the face of maybe a 5 or 6 seat majority at best. And oh, by the way, 11 people that are returning voted against her last time on the floor for speaker. So not a good election for Nancy Pelosi and her leadership team.
But we were told for months and months and months there would be a tidal wave of Democrat votes and Biden would be the winner by 10 o'clock at night. We look at the fact that the president got, what did he get? 8 million more votes than 4 years ago. We look at the fact that Nancy Pelosi's majority is hemorrhaging in the House, and the fact that not one state house went to the Democrats. What does that mean going forward, Congressman Scalise? Is this a repudiation of people like AOC, like Rashida Tlaib, like Ilhan Omar? When you hear the "don't mention socialism ever again" on the private Democrat teleconference, how much trouble is the Democrat Party in?
Well, look, they've got a big reckoning internally, and you've got right after the election, you had liberals fighting with socialists. There are no moderates left in the Democrat Party in the House. It's literally liberals and socialists, and the liberals are angry that the socialists had taken over the agenda in the last 2 years. And you saw Joe Biden embrace a lot of that socialist agenda and then try to walk away from it in the closing weeks when President Trump really called him out on it. But again, as you pointed out, states like Texas, remember their adage, Texas was going to be a purple state, was going to go for Biden. Trump won it handily. So did Florida, you know, go strong. Bloomberg alone, think about this, Sebastian. Michael Bloomberg spent about $130 million just in the states of Texas and Florida to turn their legislatures from Republican to Democrat. And you know what happened? with that $130 million? They got more Republicans in the state house in Texas and more Republicans in the state house in Florida after Bloomberg spent his $130 million.
So what does that mean? Does that mean that we are potentially on the cusp of some kind of internal crisis for Nancy and the Democrat Party, with on the one hand you have, you know, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Bernie Sanders, Liz Warren, and on the other hand you have the old school Democrats, you have Chuck Schumer, you have Nancy. What do you predict for the near and medium term future?
I think a big internal battle within their conference about which direction they're going to go. And, you know, the old traditional liberals are fighting against the socialists. And we've been saying this for 2 years, that there was this fight, but the press would cover it up. Well, now they're talking about it themselves publicly. And so it's finally getting reported because the liberals are yelling about the socialists. Today, AOC was saying she might not run for political office again. That's the result of all of this. And then Schumer, by the way, for anybody in the state of Georgia, please go look at Chuck Schumer yesterday saying,
yes,
we change Georgia, we change America. Now, do you really want a New York liberal telling you that Georgia is going to help him turn America into a socialist nation? I don't think people in Georgia want those same liberal values of Chuck Schumer in New York.
Follow this man right now, Steve Scalise, Minority Whip on Twitter. Steve, let me do some basic math. You are, you know, an old pro at this stuff. There's a reason they made you the whip. So in the last 7 days, we've seen the largest vote for an incumbent president in the history of the United States, with the president getting 1.2 million votes. We've seen him actually garner 8 million more votes than he did 4 years ago. We've seen your incredible successes in the House. We've seen the GOP looks to be hold the Senate, and then those state houses held in GOP hands. Is it counterintuitive, to say the least, that after those incredible, indisputable facts, the president didn't win the election?
It is really perplexing on some fronts. But first of all, this race is not over. It's not certified in any of these states for Joe Biden. That's why President Trump is still saying, let's count all legal votes. And, oh, by the way, if there were votes cast illegally, then those shouldn't be counted. And look at a state like Pennsylvania, Sebastian. Their state law says that any ballots that came in after Tuesday at 8 p.m., which is when the polls close, are not supposed to be counted. Yet they were counting those votes.
Right.
In fact, he just had the U.S. Supreme Court Friday night, didn't get a lot of attention because it was a Friday night order, but they ordered Pennsylvania to keep those votes separate that came in after, because their law says they're not supposed to be counted. How many is that? Nobody's given us a direct answer to that. Is it more than the margin? And so you look at Arizona, that race keeps tightening for President Trump, even though it was called by AP. It hasn't been certified by the state of Arizona because they're not even finished counting the votes, and Donald Trump keeps shrinking that lead in that state. It's less than 20,000 now and shrinking, moving towards Trump there. So there's a lot of things that have to be resolved, and again, none of those have been certified. Interestingly, the AP won't call North Carolina when you've got the president up by, what, over 80,000 votes in North Carolina, and yet they won't call that state or Alaska for President Trump.
Very strange, very strange. Let me get your take on what I'm advising the president to and what I've told the White House, and tell me if I'm missing anything from your perspective. I think we have to stand up immediately an election integrity task force. Somebody like the vice president should be giving daily briefings on the findings, the evidence that is being covered in all those battleground states and elsewhere. And beside that, we have to have the most effective communicators, people who get the MAGA agenda out there, telling the base, the 71 million people, that it's not over and now's the time to let your voice be heard. Is there anything else the president, the GOP, or the White House should be doing in these fraught times?
Yeah, Sebastian, I do think in terms of election integrity, you've got to look and say, okay, why is it that Florida, which is a large state with a lot of people that requested absentee ballots, was able to count all of their votes on election night within about an hour, hour and a half. You knew the results of Florida very quickly. You knew a large state of Ohio. Yet for some reason, Pennsylvania, when the president was ahead by hundreds of thousands of votes, they decide we'll stop counting in Georgia when the president was ahead by a large margin. They just decided we'll stop counting, and then the next day you wake up and that lead is evaporating. Pennsylvania, again, where they're not even following their own laws, some of these states where they have laws on the books that say that your poll watchers can watch the votes being counted. And yet you had people, officials in those states saying, we won't let you watch what's going on. I mean, what are you doing when you don't want anybody watching you when the law says that we can watch you? Why was that the case? And those, I think that's what really, I think, gets people very upset about the process, is that they're seeing rules enforced unequally or not fairly. You know, whatever the rules are, tell me what the rules are, and let's all go play by the same set of rules. Don't start changing them up along the way. And that's, I think, what angered people. And, you know, look at those states that were able to do it quickly and properly. Shouldn't that be the standard for every state?
Indeed. Louisiana 1, Congressman Steve Scalise, at Steve Scalise on Twitter. In the last 30 seconds we have, in your experience, in your historic perspective, have we ever seen an election that is this fraught with problems?
Oh, there have been others. I mean, you know, you saw the questions raised in Chicago in 1960. You know, you've had other elections too. But, you know, in modern times, it hasn't been. There haven't been this many states that have had serious questions raised. And again, that's why all the legal votes need to be counted, and these issues need to be resolved.
You heard what he said. It's exactly what the president said. All the legal votes, not all the votes, as sleepy, creepy Beijing Biden said, all the legal votes. Thank you, Congressman Scalise. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
We want to give you the best information every single day, and sometimes 3 hours just isn't enough. Here is a clip from the hour-long discussion we had specially live-streaming on YouTube before the show with Steve Bannon on The Way Ahead.
Remember, this is all about the Secretary of State.
Yes.
CNN and people don't have any standing here. Who has standing is a Secretary of State that has to certify the vote by date certain. That date is December 6th, okay? If they can't, the assembly, the General Assembly in Pennsylvania has to get involved, okay? And that's Republican-controlled. Remember, they're Republican-controlled in most of these battleground states. They're going to become, this is what Mark Levin keeps talking about, what an important role they play. That, now, if they can't certify and put forward a slate of electors, right, for the real vote, in this case it would be for Donald Trump, that's fine. It's not the end of the world. If the Electoral College doesn't meet on the 14th in the state capitals, in the 50 state capitals, with electors, it just, you can't have the Electoral College. It gets kicked in what's called a contingent election into the House of Representatives in January. And Donald J. Trump, there, it's not by individual congressmen. It's by
state.
It's by state party. It's by party delegation,
right,
of the states. The Republicans control 28. The Democrats control 22. Nancy Pelosi, with her big, huge gavel, has to gavel it in, have a vote, and Donald J. Trump will be elected.
Nobody talks about this. Nobody. We did it last time, and we blew YouTube records. Let's walk through this again, because this is absolutely crucial. I was on Indian television this morning. Great show, great host, conservative guy, and he kept talking about Biden has won and he's president-elect. And I said, I like your show and I like you too, but let's be clear. You don't even have a president-elect until the Electoral College chooses the president-elect. We have no president-elect. We have a president and we have a contested election. And he said, well, thank you very much, because we don't know that here in India. We have all over the American media. We have... Condoleezza Rice tweeted yesterday, and I very politely quote-tweeted her, congratulations to President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris. And I don't like doing this, but I had to school the former provost of Stanford, whose PhD is in political science, that we do not have a president-elect until the Electoral College. It just does not exist. There is no president-elect. Talk us through the current system. What is the threshold for failure of the Electoral College? How many states have to fail in certification for it to go to the House of Representatives on a party-by-state delegation to elect the president?
Well, it's simple. If you don't get, if no one gets the 270 electoral votes.
Bingo.
If you get, if anybody gets the 270 electoral votes, done. You, then you come for a ceremonial, should be ceremony. We had a couple of faithless electors last time. That, I think most of that's been sorted out. But they come for a ceremonial on January 6th, after the new Congress is set. So here's the process, the critical path. Between now and December 6th, the secretaries of state and the governors in these states have to certify the vote, okay? Once the vote's certified, a slate of electors for whoever won that vote, right, which is 50% plus one vote, becomes that slate of electors will go to the state capitol on the 14th. You have a safe harbor essentially on the 8th of December. That means if it's not done on the 8th, it's got to be done by the 8th because they need about 6 days to get kind of organized. If it's not done by December 8th, the electors are not going to meet in the state capitol. You have not gotten to the threshold of 270 electoral votes. And right now, in Wisconsin, in Michigan, in Pennsylvania, right, in Arizona, in Georgia, this is all up in the air. So, and that's all got to be certified. You have areas right now that are talking about a hand ballot recount in Maricopa County. They're talking about maybe doing a hand ballot recount in Fulton County.
Yes.
In addition, they're going to do a recount in the whole state. We know that every time you get into these things, you start peeling off Biden votes. In addition, the lawsuit's key is to throw out the mail-in ballots or to throw out every mail-in ballot that can't be certified.
Right.
All we're talking about is the certification election. What people should maniacally focus on here is the certification of the election. If you can't certify the vote, you can't then have electors. If you don't get electors of 270 to get to the Electoral College, guess what? The framers and after 1876 have a solution. Everybody take a deep breath. It goes to the House of Representatives. The reason you don't have any talk about this right now, and they wanted to Bigfoot by having the media call it on Saturday, they understand they lose in the House. Okay?
It goes to the House, and it goes by party delegation per state, which is 28 Republican to 28 Democrat, which means, theoretically, Steve, the president should be a shoo-in, correct?
Absolutely. This is why they don't want to talk about it, right? And they're going to have a further meltdown because they say, oh, he won the popular vote. He won the vote in the states. Well, he only won the uncertifiable ballots. That's why these have to be certified. If it gets to be a mess at the Secretary of State and the state general assemblies, hey, it is what it is. These have to be certified. And these lawsuits right now, and that's why everybody should be focused on the certification of these ballots and how this was stolen by these phony mail-in ballots. And that's why the president's purely within his rights. He's basically protecting the Constitution. He must protect it. And Lindsey Graham is saying, oh, we have to have hearings for future elections. No. We're going to have it for this election. You can talk about further elections is the equivalent of Lindsey Graham having hearings about, you know, Dunham or Durham not doing his job at his,
right.
That's a misdirection play. We're talking about right here and right now. We don't want to hear about future. We're going to sort it out now. And sorting it out now, we will respect the 13 or 14 generations that came before us. We will clean it up for the future. But we're going to address it right here and right now. This is not for the future. Anybody that says for the future, this is just a phony spin to get you to surrender. If the 71 million MAGA voters do not surrender, it is impossible for this illegitimate, illegal regime of Biden to actually grab power. And that's what you got to stop right now. And I don't care if Facebook or YouTube or any of these guys don't like it. This is a legal process. We're going to go into the courts. And right now they hate that. That's why they want to mock and ridicule Rudy Giuliani. That's why the defeatists at the campaign and in the White House are leaking, oh, these guys are crazy. Well, look, you were the same people that said we were crazy in 16, okay? You're the same people that said that Trump, it was all crazy that Trump would get to 70 million votes. He got 71 million votes or close to 71 million votes. Those people have his back. The president's going to go on the road this week and start to make this case. I just really recommend that Esper's firing Esmer's firing is the first of literally dozens that take place right now.
It helps to have the microphone on. That is the truth. The president needs to continue to be the president, to govern while his team fights the good fight. And did you hear that? If there's no certification that allows you to get to 270 votes, well, guess what? Then it goes to the House. And the House gets to choose the president. And we're looking pretty good there on a party-by-state delegation. Get the whole of that video at our YouTube channel, an hour long with Steve Bannon. America First, Sebastian Gorka. Subscribe, hit the notifications bell twice. Next, more on what we have to prove with former FEC Commissioner Hans von Spakovsky. FDNY firefighter Stephen Silver gave his life while saving others on 9/11. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. I'm asking you to support this cause that's committed to honoring our nation's heroes and ensuring people never forget 9/11. Help Tunnel to Towers to do good. Donate $11 a month at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, t.org. t2t.org. Thank you.
Making sense out of today's nonsense. Here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
When you don't have all the answers, you go to the ladies and to the gentlemen who do. That's why we've had such a star-studded panel of guests today, and we haven't finished yet. He's a former FEC commissioner, so he knows a thing or two about running elections in a way that shows integrity. Former Department of Justice lawyer and now senior legal fellow. And our favorite, it's the Heritage Foundation, a good friend of the show, Hans von Spakovsky. Welcome back to America First.
Sebastian, thanks for having me.
So just talk to us. We'll talk about prior precedents in terms of how one deals with problems. What is the latest catchy phrase? Anomalies in an election.
Right.
Let's talk about the last 6 days. As a former FEC commissioner, how would you compare this presidential election to prior U.S. presidential elections?
Well, this one was very different. I mean, we've never had the number of votes cast by mail as we had in this election. And I don't recall ever having the kind of problems we saw in places like Philadelphia and Detroit, where election officials there basically violated state law to prevent observers from being in to watch what they were doing. I mean, there weren't reports of that in Philadelphia or Detroit in the last presidential election or elections before then. And all of that, plus, for example, the software glitch with voting machines cited in Michigan, which led to a state race being switched around. All of that raises a lot of serious questions about what happened in those states and others.
So let's talk about at least one of those instances, the Philadelphia one, where, correct me if I'm wrong in any of these details, because I'm not a former FEC commissioner. When you're opening mail-in ballots,
right,
you should have poll watchers from either side observing that occurrence. And there was a court man, you know, we saw the incredible press conference. So we had Corey Lewandowski with a judge's order saying, let the poll watchers, let us into the election center to stand there and watch the counting of the ballots. And the local sheriff refused to actually allow them into the building or to implement that ballot, mandate from the judge. Is there any, I mean, you're a legal professional, Hans. Is there any good faith justification for that occurring?
No, none whatsoever. And the reason that's important is, remember, the whole point of being able to see what's happening with those absentee ballots is because election officials are supposed to, when they open them up, verify that it's a valid vote from a valid voter. You know, they're supposed to be checking, for example, the voter registration information that the voter has to supply. They're supposed to be checking all of that to ensure that it's really the voter who sent in the ballot. And if it doesn't comply with all of those state law requirements, you don't count that ballot. And you have to suspect, well, if they didn't want people to see what they were doing, were they just skipping all of that and simply counting every absentee ballot coming in? I mean, we don't know. I don't have evidence of that, but I can't understand why they wouldn't let people watch what they were doing to show they were actually following the law.
Let me ask you the question I asked Mayor Giuliani in the last hour here in America First. If we have no way, because the state legislature's regulations have been negated, have been ignored, if there's no way to know if a ballot is real, if it wasn't verified by both poll watchers, and it is put into that basket, that box with all the other ballots from that polling station, I call that commingling. I know that's a legal term for finances. What is the remedy? Can all of the votes be thrown out? Because there's no way to separate them. So what in practice has been the precedence, if any, for that kind of eventuality?
Well, in fact, you've put your finger right on the problem. You know, the Supreme Court, or U.S. Supreme Court, urged Philadelphia officials to segregate the ballot, for example, that had been received past the originally set deadline. We don't know if they did that or not. So, you know, the Trump campaign is trying to get to the U.S. Supreme Court to get them to rule that all those late filed ballots should not be counted. But if they were already, as you say, commingled in with all the other ballots, there's going to be no way to separate them out and change the results of the election. That's a real problem.
All right. Well, I'm going to ask you what we do in that eventuality. We're talking to the Heritage Foundation's Hans von Spakovsky, former FEC commissioner. Follow him right now. H. von Spakovsky, S-P-A-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K-O-V-S-K- Radio Network, coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, 100% drug-free pain relief that actually works, is providing relief to tens of thousands of Americans right now as we speak, myself being one of them. This product, if everything else has failed, you must try it because it actually attacks the cause of your pain, the inflammation. Listen to Leah from Ohio. One Sunday morning, I sat on my couch in so much pain, I was in tears. That's the day I ordered Relief Factor. Following directions, in 8 days, I found relief only to get better and better. I'm a believer, 100%. Wow. Shouldn't you be the next Leah? There's only one way to find out. Go to ReliefFactor.com, order the 3-week quick starter pack, and try it today. Call 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. The 3-week quick starter pack will be at your house in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know if it works for you like it works for Leah, me, and thousands of your fellow Americans. You've waited long enough. Do it now. ReliefFactor.com.
America First. Magnificent.
Welcome back, dear friends. If you haven't done so already, did you hear what Mike Lindell did for us last week? He so loves America First. And you, our listeners, he's giving you up to 66% off his incredible products. He's the inventor of MyPillow, but his site is incredible. The Egyptian cotton Giza dream sheets, the travel pillow, the body pillow, the mattress topper, the pet beds, you name it. The towels, softest towels ever. And the original MyPillow, he's sold 51 million of. Get yours today for not $69.98, but $29.98 if you use my name. The president uses them. I use them. My whole team does. They're just the best. MyPillow.com, 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468, MyPillow.com. But for that massive discount, you've got to use the secret code G-O-R-K-A. We are back with the Heritage Foundation's Hans von Spakovsky, Mr. Legal Affairs for the Conservative Mothership, former FEC Commissioner. Follow him right now at H. von Spakovsky. So, Hans, you are the man who knows if they've locked out the observers, the poll watchers, if they've commingled ballots into massive buckets of other ballots that arrived on time. Nobody knows. There's no paper trail. Right. What is the remedy? What is the legal recourse for the Trump campaign?
Well, there may not be a remedy unless election officials kept track of the number of ballots that came in past the deadline. You know, if the margin, I mean, just give a quick example. Look, if the margin of victory in a particular county is 2,000 votes, but the election officials are able to testify or show that 3,000 votes came in after the deadline, well, I think a court could say, well, the outcome in that election in that particular county has been compromised because you accepted illegal ballots, even, and there's no way to separate them out, so you might have to restage an election in that particular county.
Wow. And then when we have, I mean, I've received the videos, I forwarded them, the internet is flooded with pieces of evidence of ballot workers filling in ballots repeatedly. There are people who've done these little home kind of tutorials. Oh, look, here's the register of voters. This person requested a mail-in ballot. Oh, and look, the central system says the mail-in ballot was received, filled in, the person voted. We don't know who for. That's a secret. Oh, but by the way, if you look up their Social Security database, they're dead. So, Hans, when you, dead people are voting, what options do you have as the candidate who wants to contest that result?
Well, again, if you can show that enough ballots came in from individuals who the official records show are dead, and that affects the margin of victory, well, then again, you can get a remedy from a court. Because obviously, if more people who are dead voted, then the margin of victory between the two candidates, again, the outcome of the election cannot.
Okay, so I thought this was very very complicated and super confusing. And I'm not a lawyer. I took several international law classes at grad school. I loved it, but I'm not a lawyer. And I thought this was incredibly complicated. But talking to you, and I trust you as a former FEC commissioner, it seems very simple. This is a question of statistics. Well, it's a question of if there's enough regularity, documentable irregularity, that it is larger than the margin in the given district that that irregularity occurred in, then that county's or that district's results are subtracted from the whole. Is that, am I understanding you correctly, Hans?
Well, yeah, and you might have to hold a new election. Look, the problem, Sebastian, is that gathering that much information about that many voters in such a small amount of time is extremely difficult and very hard to do. And that's the problem faced by the campaign in trying to find evidence of substantial problems in the election.
What about a more holistic approach? And again, I'm just as a layman asking the question. If a district, if a state change the way they run their election for this election without the approval or a vote from the state legislature, as the U.S. Constitution demands, is there not an argument to be made in front of the Supreme Court then that election in toto is void because it is not the governor, it's not the state secretary, it's not the local precinct captains who decide that you can do early mail-in votes or anything else? Is there a constitutional argument to be made that the Constitution was not abided by and therefore it is null and void?
Yeah, you can make that argument, but courts are extremely reluctant to overturn election results, even when they have substantial evidence that the election was compromised. And unless you could show that the change in the rule affected enough votes to make a difference in the outcome, I just don't think a court, even if you're right on the law, is going to rule in your favor.
Even in this case where we saw truly historic and unprecedented use of mail-in ballots, and we've never seen 80 million mail-in ballots sent out, so in this case we are talking about huge numbers.
Well, we are, but again, you've got to show enough ballots, mail-in ballots, were affected by misconduct or mistakes to make a difference in the outcome, and that's the key to it.
All right, last question. We have just 50 seconds left with you. This is Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation, joined today, heritage.org, the most influential think tank in the world, and they are founded on the principles of our republic. Irrespective of political party, what is the key thing that all Americans should demand right now, 6 days after the election?
A complete and thorough investigation and airing of all of these issues that arose and all of the questionable conduct by election officials and others to make sure that we really did have a fair and secure election.
All legal and legitimate votes. That's all the president is asking,
right.
And it is so, so very telling that on the morning after the election, Joe Biden said, count all votes, not all legal votes, not all legitimate votes, but all votes. Thank you, Hans, the man who knows. Follow him right now, H. Von Spakovsky. I'm Sebastian Gorka, member of the president's National Security Education Board. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network. How much do you love America? I know you do. So do businesses that with companies. There are several businesses that you need to know are different in terms of their appreciation for the values that you share with us. One of them that is on your side is Patriot Mobile. What makes them different? It's their committed drive to support conservative values instead of those groups that you don't want to support, like Planned Parenthood and other liberal causes. At Patriot Mobile, they kneel before God and stand for the national anthem, and that's how they're different. They are the only Christian conservative cell phone company in America rated number one in customer service. They have the broadest coverage possible on a dependable nationwide 4G LTE network, and they support causes that you care about, such as the First Amendment, religious freedom, and the Second Amendment. Join them today. You can keep your old number. Call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-728-7468. Or just go to patriotmobile.com/GORKA. Shouldn't you be with the good guys? Of course you should. patriotmobile.com/GORKA.
Antidote to fake news. America First.
If you haven't seen it after the show, you've got to sit down. You've got to watch on YouTube or listen on our audio podcast to the hour-long interview we did today with Steve Bannon. It broke our live streaming records. People want answers from smart individuals such as the man who brought the last campaign 16 years ago from 16 points under to Hillary Clinton to victory. And Steve Bannon is that man. Now, let me take a thread from that discussion that you need to watch. Go to YouTube, America First, Sebastian Gorka. Watch it, bookmark it, subscribe to the channel. You've got to watch that and the two previous interviews we did with Steve. There's two aspects to what we are fighting right now. And one of them is the legal. And you heard the experts. You heard Hans von Spakovsky. You heard Rudy Giuliani's finally good fight. You heard Andy McCarthy, Kurt Schlichter. But what's even more important than getting it right legally is the political communication side of this. Steve used the phrase information operation. Now there's, you know, people are going to go, oh no, it's propaganda. No, no. I'm talking about the truth. I'm talking about the truth and how we communicate it. Because Hans made it clear. You just heard him. This is going to be tough. It's going to be so tough to get enough of the evidence in the time we have left. We have 32 days left. It's going to be very hard. But what's going to be easier is to win this politically. What do I mean by that? If we put enough pressure on, if we demonstrate, if we get out there, if we rattle the cages of the low-hanging individuals that are involved in these felonies that could see them go to jail, guess what? We get one, we get two, we get five, we get 10 people who say, yep, I was ordered to fake ballots. I was ordered to print them out, lock the doors, fill them in. If we can get true whistleblowers, if we can get enough smoking guns, guess what? Biden's chances of becoming president fall off the edge of a cliff. So right now, you have a role to play. Get your red MAGA hat on. Get your stars and stripes. Get your Trump flag. And get out on the streets. Doesn't matter where you are. If you're in Philly, great. If you're in Nevada, if you're in Vegas, great. If you're in North Carolina, superb. But it doesn't matter. I don't care if you're in Hawaii. I don't care if you're in Alaska. This is when you can win it. Not for Donald Trump, but for America. For your children. For your grandchildren. Let's put the fear of God into them. And the heat on the GOP as well. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Watch your six. Keep your head on a swivel. Never give up. Never give in. Hold the line. And stay frosty.